Chapter 26. Jesus and John. As you know, the original glorified body is no longer able to manifest itself. It has disappeared because an etheric physical body has the property of dissipating completely when it is no longer nourished by an astral mother field. The original ensouling factor, the microcosm, the soul, has become inactive, void, and incapable of manifestation. And the spirit, responsible for the miracle, has withdrawn. Now a personality is born through the earthly process of reproduction and is linked to a soul. This personality is itself another miracle of God's love, for it must be seen in relation to an emergency order plan to revivify fallen original man. The earthly personality as a temporary phenomenon has the task of saving its soul, its microcosm, from its imprisonment, and, by self-surrender and through the process of the Endura, of merging into the other one who has to be revivified. And so there is the call to everyone to accomplish this great work of salvation in and by the great power of the original nature. As you know, the beginning of the Gospels presents two characters to teach and exemplify to humanity the path and the great and glorious purpose of self-surrender. These are John the Baptist and Jesus the Christ, two men, two prophets and saviors, who reveal to us in actual practice the Christian teaching of liberation from its beginning, through its continuation, to its supernal victory. John is the nature-born human being who, just like you, has made the irreversible decision to walk the path of the great liberation and to accept wholeheartedly all the consequences. This person is making the greatest sacrifice possible for a human being, namely the sacrifice of his self. Nevertheless, he is called a prophet and a Baptist. He is proclaiming the one path of liberation possible for a creature of this emergency order. As he is living this path as an example for others, a great power emanates from him. This is because through his purification, he is linking himself with the original fundamental nature again. In this way, he is able to convey this wonderful power to others. This makes him at the same time a Baptist, i.e., a transmitter of power. Nothing is as infectious and inspiring towards dynamism as a person who does what he says and puts into practice what he teaches, and so we see John representing the prototype of the true pupil of a spiritual school. All the Gnostic brotherhoods that have done their work since the beginning of our calendar state emphatically that the appearance of Jesus the Christ was just an illusion, and that his crucifixion was therefore impossible. What they are trying to say is that Jesus the Christ was not a nature-born person, and so could not possibly possess a crystallized personality of flesh and blood like that of an ordinary human being. We know that the Joannine person will naturally and obviously merge into and become the Jesus human being when he has fundamentally completed his task. But who is Jesus the Lord? In a certain sense, he is the same entity as the one called John the Baptist, for when John completes his journey through the desert, it is inevitable that when he has reached the nadir, the criterion, he meets Jesus at the Jordan, that is to say, the other one, the original. Etheric physical vehicle is beginning to manifest itself once again in the microcosm of the Joannine person. From that moment on, there are two beings in the microcosm, Jesus and John, the original one and the nature-born one. How is this possible? As a servant of the Holy Grail, John will purify his intellectual brain consciousness and his astral body completely, and he will bring them into harmony with the divine nature. The Spirit, the call of the Father, will then manifest itself in the microcosm. In his heart, John sees the face of the original one as in a mirror. Initially, there is a certain amount of confusion in this amazing encounter. Jesus asks John to baptize him, when it would seem more appropriate the other way around. You too might ask, why did Jesus have to be baptized by John? The answer is that a marvelous mystery lies at the bottom of this. The other one, the original one, is manifesting himself in the natural form of John, who is standing in the Endura, and who has completely surrendered himself to him with the words, he, the other one, must increase and I must vanish. It is obvious that the reborn soul of John, which has become a divine soul, and thus has revealed his inner Jesus, has placed his nature-born Joannine power at the service of this inner Jesus, the Christ, in order to enable him to reveal himself to humanity in absolute sacrifice. In this way, Jesus the Lord accepts his way of the cross in the Joannine person, in order to revivify everything that has been crystallized in the microcosm during many ages, and thus purify the whole microcosm. This was truly a historic event, however not in one single person, but thank God, in many millions who have gone before us. And so the death of the cross of Jesus in John is the very last sacrifice to John, who was already beheaded long before. From this follows the resurrection in eternal life. May you too meet Jesus the Christ in this sense. May you too follow him to the glorious end.